Black people are free.
No one is fully free.
Because the issues that affect Black people the most affect everyone.
Everyone. Can you imagine an America with no police?
Until Black people are free.
No one is fully free.
Because the issues that affect Black people the most affect everyone.
Everyone. Can you imagine an America with no police brutality? Without mass shootings.
And gun violence.
Mass incarceration.
Children in cages.
And racist immigration policies.
Voter suppression.
Environmental degradation.
Racial injustice.
It's time to vote for an America
where our lives are valued and protected,
where police are held accountable,
where we have access to quality health care,
where we can thrive in school,
where our water is safe to drink.
It's time to vote for an America without
low wages
and low opportunity.
Vote for an America without
the oppression of white supremacy.
Can you imagine an America where oppression and fear are dissolved?
Where we are whole and healed. We are the most powerful voters in this country,
so we will not be distracted by the noise they make.
We are going to choose who leads us,
those who truly represent us,
and vote out those who don't.
Vote you out.
We are going to show up and fight for what we need and vote for what really matters.
We are What Matters 2020.
Text What Matters to 24365.
Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode with the Forum for Islamic Studies. Today I have the pleasure and the honor of welcoming to our studio Imam Muhammad Ali Ilahi, the Imam and Islamic spiritual leader of the Islamic House of Wisdom in Dearborn Heights. Excuse me.
Members of the organization will be attending the third democratic debate at TSU.
One of the largest religious institutions in the state of Michigan. Welcome, Imam Ilahi.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
And we have with us also Imam Shamsuddin Abdul Rashid. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Shamsuddin. Imam Shamsuddin is an Islamic studies teacher and high school math teacher, activist, and preacher. And also with us is Imam Ahmad Saleh, but he disappeared for a second. Hopefully he'll come back, inshallah, soon. Today's topic will be around the current situation that we are facing in the United States, a reminder of an ongoing struggle since the founding of the United States of America. Imam Ahmad Saleh is with us. Welcome, Imam Ahmad. He's a renowned academic expert and speaker on social justice and Islamic studies. We were saying, Imam Ahmad, that today's topic, titled really by the suggestion of Imam Saleh, to be called I Can't Breathe, as a symbol of the situation that we have gotten into, of the continuous racial injustice and racism that has come to a suffocating level, both literally and metaphorically. Yeah. I want to jump right into the subject because we have a lot of questions that have been sent to me by a lot of friends to be asked to the dear imams. So I'm going to start with a general question, given every one of our respected guests will have up to 10 minutes to really address this question, and then we'll come back for more diverse questions. The first question I'd like to ask everyone on the panel is, what do you think the root problem of what we're facing today, and what do you think the solution and the healing moving forward? We'll start with Imam Ilahi.
Thank you, Sayyid Sam Sharafuddin, for this invitation and at this very sensitive time. And it is a great pleasure to share this panel with Imam Saleh and Imam Abdul Rashid, wonderful community teachers and leaders and intellectuals in our community. Obviously, the real issue is racism. So it's not about George Floyd situation, although it is unbelievable, is very tragic, is very brutal, is sad, is heartbreaking, is something that we all condemn. But the root of the issue is the racism that you mentioned is the history of 400 years. And it is really an evil thing. It is a virus. Today, actually, we had a huge interfaith march in Detroit. The governor was there, the mayor of Detroit was there, the lieutenant governor was there. And so many religious leader and clergy community, especially from churches in Detroit. And one of the things that I mentioned over there was that really now, although it started from George Floyd, but now it has become a national conversation and national revolution, like it is another American revolution against racism. And it is very promising. I see this movement, if God willing, continues. It's very educational, very inspiring, because it is not only about even the parties anymore. Although we know the party structures, the political structures of each party, but we hear from people of consciousness from all parties, all politicians, even some army generals, that now they are coming to the scene and they are condemning racism and hypocrisy, injustice, and they are saying that there should be a solution. And the solution is that everybody be part of the solution. Especially us as Muslims, we are more responsible because the language of our book, the audience of the Quran is audience. Quran always says, Ya Ayyuhannas, all people of the world, Ya Bani Adam, all children of Adam. Inna khalaqnakum min nafsin wahida, you are from the same family. So if there is one God and one universe and one human family, and especially in Sunnah, in the tradition of the Holy Prophet, so much emphasis on لا فخر العربيين على عجمي ولا لا فضل العربيين على عجمي ولا فضل لأبيض على أسود ولا لأسود على أبيض. All this emphasis, the fact that the muadhin, the person that the Prophet chose to be the spokesman of the movement in the beginning of Islam, somebody that he would be, say, the Adhan, is like the spokesman of the new leadership. And he was Bilal, who was not even from the area. He was black, he was from Habasha, and he was a stranger, he was an immigrant, and he was really didn't have even an Arabic accent. He used to say, Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah. And when people criticize and this, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of God, you chose a guy that he's not from the area, he's different color, is different language and accent, and you chose him to speak for your revolution, and at least tell him to correct his accent. He said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, instead of Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Sinu balalin shinun inda Allah. So God looks at his heart, not just his accent. So really, if we are claiming the Sunnah and the Quran, and the fact that the Prophet says, Salmanu minna alul bayt, everybody was saying that who is who? And when it's time of Salman to introduce himself, like he didn't have any tribe over there, and people kind of, some people tried to put him down, but then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Salman minna Ahlul Bayt. So if he was against unsuriyya, against asabiyya, against racism, against arrogance, and against this intolerance and racial injustice, then we have to really, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He is our model, he is our example. And we as a community of faith are very much responsible to interact, to engage, to continue this conversation against racism, to have outreach and dialogue, and bring light of education from the Prophet, from Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, from the righteous companions of the Prophet. So we are responsible and we must get involved. Let me conclude with this, that today when I came back from this march, and we walk, I think, almost 4 miles today under sun and statement and talking with the media, and a couple of friends told me that, why you didn't tell us if we knew that we would join you over there? And I said, first of all, I was not one of the organizers, and I heard about it, and I went, and I was not sure that, you know, about the details. But it just happened one day that, you know, governor was there. I participate in so many of this interfaith that there is no governor, there is no mayor, not like big leaders, but it's just interfaith, and I feel that is our duty to go. And our community members, if they really is serious about this kind of thing, you already have a few like gathering in Dearborn, and I didn't see too many people even like next door. How many times we have interfaith gathering at the House of Wisdom, and we call everybody in press conference that related to injustice and racism and so on and so forth. And we don't see too many people really showing interest. So it's not just one time the governor is there, oh, if I knew that, I would come. It is about interfaith. It's about outreach, unity, especially now that we have, you know, the situation of George Floyd, that really time, as I said today, to honor the sacrifice of African Americans. It's been 400 years. I mean, we are new. I am new. I've been in this country for 30 years. But they already set up and prepare everything for me. And I should show appreciation now for people who sacrificed for 400 years with their blood, with their suffering, with their patience, with their contribution. And now that if one of them said, I cannot breathe, then everybody should say, I cannot breathe either. Because as we have in tradition of Prophet Muhammad, that humanity, we are all members of the same body. If one organ of this body hurts, every other organ in this body hurts as well. So if one person said, I cannot breathe, looks like the entire humanity. If one person was killed innocently, it is just entire humanity is killed. The same thing, if one person cannot breathe, that means that none of us can breathe. None of us should feel that space, that flexibility, that freedom to breathe. So we have to feel their pain. And in this situation, to participate and say, we are with you, we support you, we feel your fear, your pain, and we are one in this case. All of us are George Floyd and like Ahmed, the other innocent person who just killed in Georgia, and the other lady. So we should show this collective humanity and consciousness for all of us. And but we have to continue that. The solution is to continue this conversation, not just now, one day, 2 days, 1 week. We talk about Floyd, and then we forgot and wait for another tragedy to happen and just react to the tragedies, to be proactive, to continue this dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you, Imam Ilahi, and thank you for your continued proactiveness and supporting pluralism and diversity and dialogue among religions. The Islamic House of Islam has been a hub for social justice since its founding. I'd like to pose the same question for Imam Saleh. What is the root problem of the continued racism in the United States? I mean, this is the civil rights struggle has been going on for the last 60 years, and it seems that we come back to square one. And what can the real solution be going forward?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadullah wa salli ala Rasulul Kareem. Amma ba'd. I think you've asked what some of the underlying problems are and also what some of the solutions are. I'm just going to quickly brainstorm what I would think are some of the underlying problems and then maybe just a few quick solutions and then take it from there. I think underlying everything is education. We often fear what we don't know. And that is what Martin Luther King also used to say. And we have it with Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. They were not simply speakers, but they were very well read and very, very educated about situations. Shaming is not the solution. If we think we're going to shame, that we maybe just going to worsen the problem, we're not going to get everyone on board. So education more than anything. And just to give an understanding of what we mean by that, I've just listened to Ibrahim X. Kendi. He's written four books now, and one of his books in 2016 won the New York Times bestseller award, 500 Years of History of Slavery and also Oppression of the African American. But one of the interesting things that he also brings out is that if we can convince even the white people that very often you are hoodwinked and very you are often tricked into thinking that there are problems when there are actually no problems, and when there are statistics that are being manipulated, where they are dehumanizing statistics, crime has been so exaggerated through statistics that African Americans seem to be 100 times more guilty than what they actually are. And very often the underlying problems would be poverty and unemployment. And wherever abject poverty and very high unemployments are found, even in white communities and model communities, then the same crime would come. So it's important to keep on educating and to reach out to everyone. The good thing is that everyone in this country, whether we are from minorities, current minorities, or even Caucasians, but whether it's Baptists or Quakers or Poles or Orthodox Greeks or Catholics or Jews, all of them have their share in some form of persecution. So we have a history of every community with their pain. We should need to know the pain of each and every community, and even remind them that, listen here, you were Catholics, you were Quakers, you were Baptists, and this is what happened in your history. And so just there shouldn't be any oppression Olympics, for instance. Then we have the issue of arrogance and sometimes the issue of a culturally embedded racism. And oftentimes that goes with training. So how the police is being trained, how the military is being trained. I've seen a number of articles about the Gazification of the police in black neighborhoods and in other neighborhoods. And if we do not pay attention to that, it's going to come to us very soon. Soon we will have these forced vaccinations and these ID chips and those very police that are being unleashed on who we see now as people of color. They will come for everyone. And so it's important to see that. But much of that arrogance comes from dehumanization and demonization. The moment you dehumanize a community, it's easy for you to discriminate. Oh, they are like vermin. They are like cockroaches. Or We know the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda, they could kill almost a million people within 10 days because of that constant dehumanization and demonization. So we will have to be very careful how we do that, show up. Very often when we watch films by African-Americans, all African cast, we find that most of these all African cast, those films are very, very poorly attended in the theaters. How do we reach the people who are the victimizers for now in our mind, but also convince the victimizers that you are also victims at one stage? You are victims and victimizers at the same time. There's also a lack of vision. We claim that the founding fathers of this nation were visionary people. Of course, they had many of their flaws. Some of them had slaves. But since then, what we understand about Jefferson, what we understand about are those early forefathers, the best qualities they had, and some of the best that we've added, that should be combined. We shouldn't be devolving or degenerating into something even worse than that. If we do not understand that we cannot tolerate the intolerable and that the present is going to impact the future. And so if there's a great fear in the Caucasian community that in a very short time there will be a numerical minority, then that fear is often unfounded. It's not the right way for them to use the present, to mess up the present and think the future will be better for them. What they're going to do in the present is going to be a construct for the future. And so I think those are just, we have to bring people and remind them of their own values, the values within their own community, whether they are white Catholics or white Jews or white Orthodox Christians or Baptists, whichever, or even blacks for that matter. We know many of the blacks are, the police are also black, and some of the most violent black police are in Washington, D.C., killing black people. So how we do we stop all that type of the violence? That is important. So at times, a revolution is going to be inevitable. A revolution can be painless and can be painful, depending on how we respond. Danger is real. Fear is not real, as Kendi would say. So danger is real, but fear is a choice. How we respond. Are we going to respond to that danger in a graceful way, in a strategic way, in a consistent way, or are we just going to respond by creating even more danger? So it's important that we also emphasize humility studies. If we in the humility studies can say that we all are the children of Adam, whether you are Arab, whether you are African, whether you are Hispanic or Native American, so we all have the same root. In fact, even further, we are all interconnected with all of creation. And so the moment that becomes part of our consciousness, then that is going to... So humility studies mustn't become a Cinderella study. It must become almost a priority in every syllabus, starting from kindergarten and taking it all the way up. But everything we do, we should do with wisdom. As we said, we can't just shame people. If I go to the Pakistani Indian community in the wealthy suburbs and I'm going to shame them and say, you are also racist, or I go to our Arab community and say, you are also racist, we are going to defeat the purpose. So we will have to use hikmah. If a child has a blade in his hand and he can cut himself, we try to think of offering candies and give that blade out and do that still to understand we are not against you as a person, but we just want to protect you and save you. So we need that diplomacy. Kendi mentions that sometimes we are unconsciously racist. It's almost like a person is soaked in the, drenched in the rain. And you come for the first time and offer an umbrella. And then they realized that, oh my God, everything led to me becoming who I am. And I thought I am non-racist, and I actually have so many biases we all have. Everyone, sometimes we have 179 biases. And how do we reduce those biases? That's most important. The last thing I want to say is sometimes it is difficult for Muslims to understand that this is affecting me as a person immediately. And then we need to tell some of them, let us say I'm working with a community, mostly physicians and mostly professionals in the suburbs here. And I look at the story that Sheikh Umar Sulaiman tells about Dr. Jamila Arshad. Dr. Jamila Arshad is a neurologist, one of the finest neurologists in Texas. She trained in New York. What happens is she comes from hospital, 5 miles away from hospital. She sees a young boy on a bicycle being hit by a car. She gets out and realizes she has to resuscitate the boy. A white man comes, passes, and doesn't. He cannot understand that this black petite woman, 51-year-old, could be a surgeon or could be a doctor. He immediately calls the cops. They come, and without investigating, they pick her up, throw her against the pavement. As they throw her against the pavement, she's then taken and shoved into the van. The van is being locked. She has a seizure. She has a cardiac arrest, and then she dies. Another man passes, and the man sees some froth coming out of her mouth, and the man says, this woman has passed away. The cop had to call his partner to come and open the van. It took another 10 minutes. We have lost such an amazing woman. She looks like any Desi woman, any South Asian woman. And this is how she has been treated as a neurologist. If we use these powerful stories to let our people know it could happen to any one of us tomorrow. The young people that were killed in Chapel Hill, the dentist, you know, the Baraka family. Also, if we can say, listen, yeah, 30% of the African Americans that were captured in Africa, some of them were princes, some of them were very skilled people, they were Muslim. So you are dealing with the children of Muslims, you know. We somehow have to just convince our people that this is, there is no way that you cannot see this as an Islamic, as a Quranic injunction and an imperative, and that we have to act now. And if we're not going to act now and we think of a utopian society that has come, that is never going to come. The last thing I want to mention is the wonderful thing that that unfolded is the fact that the Generation G and our millennials really came out in support. So the march that took place a few days ago, young people from all stripes and all colors have come forward. And we must welcome that. This is now a moving train. You cannot be indecisive when it comes to a moving train. I wrote a piece. And I forwarded that piece on Black Lives Do Matter. And one friend in New Zealand forwarded to the Maori people. And they realized there's so much police brutality towards the Maori. They took it and they appropriated that. And they say, the Black Lives Matter, this is our issue also now. So now we have people across the world who have seen different types of oppressions. And they make it their own story. Right now, we need to put our African-American brothers and sisters in front and say, okay, we need to have focused attention on you. But one of the best way to kill apartheid, for instance, was to have a global sanctions against apartheid in South Africa. If we want to let this problem go away, we must also let it go global and let it go viral. So those are some of the thoughts that we have, and I can share the paper I had, and maybe you could put it on the site sometime, inshallah.
For sure, Imam. Thank you. Yeah, please share it in the private chat, and I can put it right now if you have a minute. Okay. Thank you for the insightful contribution. Brother Shamsuddin, please enlighten us with your take on the continued problem of racism that we are dealing with, racial injustice, and what is the steps moving forward. You know, we've been in this struggle for a very long time, and it seems that every time we feel that there is some progress, we have setback.
Yes, sir. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. Inshallah, brothers, sisters, and brothers, I'm going to mention the names of recent times. Eric Garner, who started the I Can't Breathe situation in New York, and George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor. And there are a host of others whom have never been seen on film or what have you. And to be real clear, I was one of those brothers that were thoroughly harassed by police officers and had guns to my head, what have you. I was with another brother, Imam Nadir Ahmed. We were working at the masjid, painting and laying carpet. And we worked to about 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, my wife had been calling, you know, over and over again, you know, bring food home, because, you know, the kids, they're sleepy, they want to eat. You know, and they didn't have to go to school, and I was trying to get the, I couldn't leave the brother there by himself, because there were other workers there, but we were trying to finish it, and other people had left already. So anyways, I went to a Kroger's in Harbor Woods. Police officer jumped out the car. This is in 1995. I was 35 years old. He jumped out the car. "Hey, stop. Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going to the store." He says, "Well, a black man just robbed a 7-Eleven. He looks just like you. Give me your ID." And I started talking loudly because I wanted people to witness what was going on in the event this guy shot me in the head. And he called for backup, you know, and I'm not going to give you the whole story. Don't have time for that. But understand there were shotguns pulled up on me. You know, about 7 to 10 officers there. It was a mad scene. And the end result was, when we went to court, The detective came outside and asked me, "Are you Shamsi Abdur-Rashid?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Listen, go home. You don't have to come." And that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I should have went in, because when I told my story, had I told my story in court, those officers may have been in trouble, and or I could have sued them for racial profiling and police harassment. So I know up close and personal how things can go. And the only reason why I'm not dead is because of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm making dua, asking Allah to help me. Now, with all that being said, there are stories that go across America and go across time that many people other than African Americans have suffered here in America. So the Native Americans, you know, 15 million of them were killed, what have you, and sold in slavery to England, and the others were put on reservations. And you had the Asian Americans, particularly the Chinese, racially abused, and, you know, the Mexicans, you know, the Middle Americans, that is. You can go across the board. People of color have always been ostracized and treated poorly. And like Sheikh Ahmed said, you know, two things happened. In order to get this across in their own communities, they had to desensitize the people's feelings towards what is right. So what they did, they dehumanized the individuals, called them savages, the Indians. They said African Americans had tails and what have you, and we're monkeys and all that. They said a lot of different things to desensitize and diffuse any emotions to cause people to be concerned about the poor treatment and the unjust treatment of people of color. And especially African Americans, because we were the slaves, we were owned. And so, to the point, two of the big problems that caused a continuum of this violence, what have you, is racism and pseudo justice in America, fake justice in America. These two things hold. There's a poison that is perpetuated through culture in a neighborhood with people that look like you and what have you. And so we as Muslims, we are supposed to be custodians of righteous behavior. And the onus, first and foremost, is on the Muslim Americans, the Muslims living in America, that know what their duties are to defuse, poor treatment of others. And I want to go to some ayat from Quran. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhannas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakri wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu." So Allah is telling us that He created the human race, from a single pair, a male and a female, and into different nations and tribes, whereby the objective was what? Lita'arafu. He says, "Inna," watch this, "Inna akramakum indallahi yatqakum." And so the honor of all human beings is based upon one's obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is where we have to focus. We have to give the dawah to the communities. Imam Ahmed mentioned the education. The education is on how to be a good human being, how to tap into your fitrah, your nature, to be a good, kind human being. You see, and what we saw in the past, you see, that there were some righteous Caucasian people. And we talk about diffusing racism. I use the word Caucasian. I don't use the word black, because black is a racist word. I mean, you have people who prefer to be called black, and that's their level of understanding. But, black, white, red, yellow, these are all terms of separation, you see? And these are all words that infuse hate. And so we have to, flip that script by encouraging people to first and foremost focus on their responsibility to the Lord of heaven, the Lord of heavens and earth, Rabbil Alameen. And so we have to, also do our due diligence as Muslims and being kind to one another. Now, I heard Imam Ahmed make this mention, but I'm going to say it. We do have problems in our own communities where people of color are treated poorly, and not just African-Americans. Dark Arabs are treated poorly. I had a student of mine, Islamic studies class. I won't call his name, but he came to me, and I'm going to be real sharp. Allah says what? He says, "Wakulu kalan sadida." So when I'm going to say it, it might sound, a little tough, but I got to say it. This young boy from Yemen, South Yemen, he was about as dark as I was. And he said he was talking because he was upset. He was having problems. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, I'm tired of people calling me nigger boy." Yemeni brothers calling this young Yemeni brother nigger boy. And this, it's just one of the examples that is throughout, the Muslim community, where we have poor choices in our mind about honor. Allah says, "Inna akramakum indallahi yatqakum." The best of you, the most honored of you, are the ones who obey Allah Azza wa Jalla the best, who refer to Him, who reverence Him the best. You see, so. And he says, "Inna Allah alimun khabir." He knows who's righteous. He knows who is honorable. And we want to go then looking at the fact that, color of face, type of race, socioeconomic status, all these different things that people choose to demean other human beings is wrong. And, so we have to stand up against those things. And I have a lot of information. I know I don't have time, but solving the problem is to go back and look in history. Those who don't learn from history are destined and doomed to repeat it. And again, I brought the Native Americans. They were killed. They were slaughtered. It's a book called "Bury Me at Wounded Knee." You can see how they use biological warfare against the Indians, the Native Americans, by using smallpox that were blankets, clothing that were infested with smallpox, what have you, killed many of them, sold many of them to England as slaves, kill what they could. They had killing parties throughout America in the 1600s and the 1700s. You see, killing parties, well, it was the origin also of Thanksgiving, by the way. And then we have the Middle Americans, the Mexican brothers and sisters that come here and they treat as slaves, poor wages, what have you. I mean, all these things happen. We know the African American story, you know, with everything. I mean, we had intra-racism. And intra-racism is being racist within your own race. And I was the brunt of that as well. You know, from my own family, by the way. I won't elaborate on that, but I'll just tell you, the light-skinned African-Americans in the 60s treated the dark-skinned African-Americans poorly. Seriously, relatives of mine did it. Yeah, I can go deep, but I won't do it here. You see, so we have a lot of people, all people of color, even right now, currently, the Arab communities, they're not white. Some are real, real, real light, and some might be technically Caucasian, you know, looking, what have you. But, I mean, we have, you know, the Bengali community. We have we have all sorts of people of color that are suffering prejudices because of the color of their skin. And so that brings me to the point, the root of the evil. On the other side, from the beginning of time, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنْسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمِمْ مَسْنُونَ. Okay, Allah says he created a human being from a clay that made sound, and there was what was hamim masnoon, which means black and has smell. And so when Allah told Adam, Iblis to bow, he says, lam akul li asjudu. Kala lam akun li as juda li basharin khalaqnahu min salsalin min hamim masnun. So when Iblis was asked, how come you didn't bow down? Iblis said, look, I'm not one to bow down to a man that you made from black stinking mud. I'm not going to do it. You see? So this was the first racist. That's my point. And so Iblis had a problem with the features of Adam. I looked up the word Adam, and the word Adam means, you know, dark earth. We look at the word, he says, "Kol lam akun li asjuda li basharin." I'm going to make a man, but also that man, bashar refers to skin. So not only did he say man, but he's talking about the skin of the man. And the skin of man was from Hamim Masnoon. You see, so Shaitan's trick to humanity was to try to get people to hate their father Adam, alayhi salam. That's the big play up on America. You see, so the other portion of what we're dealing with is pseudo justice. And again, I keep telling us that we are the ones that have to be the forerunners. We have to be the custodians to take this to the streets, to give the dawah, you know, to encourage people to be right-minded. Also says what? Ya ayyuhal aminu kunu kawamina bilqist. He says, oh, you believe? Stand up for justice. Stand up for right-mindedness. Don't sit on the sideline. He says, shuhada lillahi, as witnesses before Allah Azza wa Jal. Walau ala anfusakum. I will walidain. If it's from yourself, stand up for justice. If it's from your parents, stand up for justice. He says what? Akrabin and your relatives, stand up for justice. He says, Iyakun ghaniyan aw faqiran. He says, and even if the person is rich or poor, stand up for justice. He says, awla biha. He says, fallahu awla bihima. Well, Allah does best to protect those categories of rich and poor people. You see what I'm saying? And he says what? فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا هَوَى. Don't follow your desires. So we have to be fair within our hearts. Be just. He says, أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِدُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. So if we allow ourselves to be influenced by our emotions and our hawa, then we will swear, we will not be just with people. You see, so this is what the people are looking for. They look at it's alhamdulillah, we have many Muslim groups. You know, Brother Sharafuddin, You know, he's trying to do the right thing and calling people to right-mindedness. You see, bringing different forms up. You know, this is excellent. Imam Ilahi, he's always on the case. I've known Imam Ilahi for about, 35 years? It's been about, we went on a trip to Washington together. We were marching for Palestine. I remember, you remember the trip. Imam Ilahi is a very good friend of mine. You see, Imam Ahmed, I remember him too. You know, I don't know him as much as I do Imam Ilahi, but I will tell you this, is that Imam Ilahi and Dr. Ahmed, men of faith and men of action, you see? And we all have to be that type. And it's not just about imma or shuyukh doing these things. No, it's about the common people, because this religion will spread and help others become right-minded, because the Prophet said, ad-dinu wa amila. Religion is good treatment. So when we treat people right, it encourages others to become Muslim. And when we are in the forefront, like Imam Ilahi is in the forefront in community affairs, non-Muslim affairs, trying to be an example and a beacon of light, and other Muslims being a beacon of light, many different Muslims around the world, you're trying to be a beacon of light, you know, to call to justice. Allah Azza wa Jalla bless us. And I will close on this. Look at this. We have the ta'un. We have the plague throughout the whole world. What might change that condition is that the whole world were calling for justice for brother George Floyd. The whole world participated in a call to justice. And Allah loves when the human beings show their decent humanity to righteousness. And it's not about, you know, if you're Muslim or not. It's about if your heart is right. Now, we understand the levels of iman and how you can go to different levels of the paradise or the business. There are levels of righteousness, yes, but Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman. And he reward everybody for their mercy shown to humanity in particular this time. So maybe he will release us from this ta'un, because the humanity gathered together. This is a statement from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not just an everyday thing. It didn't just happen overnight. This is Qadr, because we're coming close to a time where we have to be more vigilant in our abilities to please Allah Azza wa Jal. So in closing this, we have to change how we do business. As Muslims, we have to be a Muslim to every, we have to be a brother to every Muslim brother. Not disrespect each other. I remember becoming abd many times. I would play stupid like I didn't know what it meant. We have to just, I don't care. Like these brothers, these other brothers, these shuyukh, you know, they know more than me. You know, I know I function as imam, you know, in the community, but, you know, I humble myself to those who know more than me. And guess what? I humble myself to those who don't know as much as I know. Kids. I listen. I am taught by kids, my students, and anybody else that has good words to say to me. Point. We have to be humble and respectful. And we have to care about the people that we deal with. And we have to be a better example in the community and stop selling alcohol and weed papers and different things that are going on, where I'm sometimes embarrassed when I go into the gas station and say, Assalamu alaikum, because I see all this filth around the place. So we're supposed to be calling people to right-mindedness. And if we don't, they lose respect for us. We are the best asset to America. No one can do for America what we can do for America, because we have the book, Kitabul Law, that takes care of all frames of government, all frames of human behavior that is based upon hikmah that causes people to want to be one of us. So hopefully, inshallah, these words will help.
Thank you very much. And one thing that you said that is very important is that what is different today from all the reactions to the horrible police brutality and racial injustice that takes place every day, that the whole world has united, the whole world has denounced, and the whole world has stood, that there is no longer... Yeah, go ahead, Imam, no problem. that there is no longer space for such a thing in our society. I want to share something with our dear guests before we continue with their comments as we come to a closing to our program. An activist, her name is Hanan Yahya. She's a Yemeni-American activist in the city of Detroit. And she shared something that I would like to share with us because it's the voice of the youth, and we can also have some reaction to her and to all the youth that are having the same concerns as her.
Hey everyone, I recorded this video like 1,000 times because I wanted to make sure, you know, my emotions didn't get the best of me and that I'm hitting all the points that I need to mention today. But I have a few reflections and I'll be straightforward. I'll be honest, brutally honest. And this message is primarily for my Arab Muslim and Yemeni specifically, because that is my community, brothers and sisters in this time. I went to the protest today and there were like under 10 folks who are Arab and Muslim and Yemeni who are participating in these protests. And not to say that everyone needs to participate in a protest, but that is very telling about the number of people who are willing to stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters. And that leads me to the major point today. And that is that I am extremely disappointed in our religious leadership, in our masajid, in our media institutions, in our school system. Any person that holds any influence, or you have access to social media and you're staying silent and you're not making any public statements in solidarity and not taking action in your own spaces, you disappoint me. And to those who are not only staying silent, but encouraging others to stay silent too and to not get involved. And worst of all, focusing on the looting and the destruction of property rather than the violence, the historical violence that has been happening to our Black brothers and sisters. I am disgusted by your leadership and by your role in the community. And this movement and this momentum that exists right now has provided a way for your hypocrisy and the hypocrisy of our communities to surface. We knew that racism exists. We knew that there is discriminatory practices and policies and businesses and in institutions in our own communities where we should be showing solidarity and humanizing our brothers and sisters, our Black brothers and sisters, when we're really doing the opposite. And for those of you who are like, but we need to talk about the looting. We need to condemn it. Why can't we say no to both? And why are our priorities always misplaced? Why do we have to elevate the concerns about looting and not truly elevating the concerns of our Black brothers and sisters, which is the priority here, which is the focus, which everyone continues to divert. Everyone wants to
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Imam. So I'm going to stop the video right here because I want to use the rest of the minutes that we have. Imam Ilahi, you have pointed to that today, and I really feel sorry for inviting you to this show because I see you active from the morning till night. And I know that you have programs lined up and you have a program tomorrow about the same subject. So you're one of the active imams, but the concerns of the youth when they see some other leaderships who are not really voicing their position, and the youth, like Imam Saleh said, the youth today have really been 100% showing solidarity with the movement. What is your reaction to that?
Obviously, I understand the disappointment of this sister that she spoke from her heart and with sincerity. And we all agree that our situation is not perfect. But you know, then I think the solution is that we should have more interaction, like this sister and sisters like her and brothers in our community should have more interaction with the masajid, with the imam, call and raise these questions and talk directly. I think, you know, we need also empathy because we don't know all the details. You know, when we criticize something, we have to be very careful that we are on the same page and we have the right information. Because sometimes, you know, everybody is doing something, but we may not be aware of what they are doing. So it's good that if we have any problem with any mosque or any imam, we just call and ask that, for example, there was a demonstration today. Were you aware? Maybe the imam didn't know about it at all. I mean, it just happens to me many times as well. No matter how much I'm involved and I follow the news and views and communicate, the love outreach, interfaith is part of mission of House of Wisdom. But sometimes things happen in the community, never tells me about that. And I have no idea. And then if when I realize, as a matter of fact, I complain. And sometimes I ask the organizers that, how come you know that I'm interested in participation? How come you didn't tell me? So if someone didn't see me in a community function and started criticizing, while I had no idea about that. So that means that we need more communication and communication. That is very, very important that when we question the, you know, situation of the state. But I, to be honest with you, in general, the question is correct. I mean, general, we need, whether at the level of the imams or level of the community, we both, all of us, need to be more involved. We need to have engagement. We already heard from Imam Abdul Rashid, from Imam Saleh, I mean, that we need to be part of the change. We need to be part of is when talk, we should talk the talk and walk our talking. It's not just talking, but also the walking. And that's for everyone. I think we are all responsible. Kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ul.
Thank you, Imam. We'll come back to you for a final word. Imam Saleh, what's your you know, take on the participation of our communities? What do you recommend? I mean, Imam Shamsuddin has also reflected on many ways that we can get involved, and we have to change at many different levels. What's some of your comments on that?
Yeah, I think it's a consolation to our young sister, and I applaud her for her courage and for her passion. May Allah keep that passion alive, and may she infuse many other young people with a similar passion. But even at the height of the civil rights movement, there was only 14% of all Africans that fully participated in a very active way in that. There's always the 10-90 rule, that 10% of the people will change everything. 90% of the people often sit on the fence, come in at the last minute and claim we've been with it all along. It happened in South Africa. It happened in every struggle. So as we go, there are times when we must just be flying eagles. There are times when we say, I'm going to do and say what other people don't dare do and say, and we'll do that repeatedly, because that is what leadership, real leadership, and think of many creative ways in order to then bring some people on board and use wisdom. But people like Imam Ilahi and myself and Imam Shams and others, we should not be the outliers. People want to see maybe a group of ulama marching down the street, maybe 10 or 15 of them, like we did in South Africa with the shuyukh of the Muslim Judicial Council. so that we need to reach that critical mass where people don't even see just one or two faces and say, okay, well, the other sad thing is we are on the Imam's Council, and I think it's sometimes important just to voice this. Imam Ilahi and I were kicked out of the council, of the WhatsApp group at one phase, because we felt that every political issue happening in Yemen, happening even in Saudi to the Saudi scholars, and that those should be our issues, because the pain of a Muslim is global. We don't only have pain when people will look like us and think like us, and that we know when they are in pain. So then the council, afterwards, they are very selective about justice. When it comes to Gaza, when it comes to this issue now, we were surprised that we were putting out the statement, because no politics, no politics. As if the Quran has never been about politics, as if, Surah Fatah and all these other Surah Rum even, it's all about politics. Islam has become a political football, and the fiqh has become politics. And they cannot understand how policy impacts everything, the way our masajid are built, and how Islamophobia is also a form of racism. And it should be coming back to the looting. I know the youth plan, a strategic looting of government buildings or things that are connected directly to the power structures. And oftentimes there are white cops and white supremacists that infiltrate these groups, and they do the other lootings. So it gives they want a bad name, and it has happened through every struggle. We have to deal with these people that want to try to frame the people with legitimate struggles and to take away that particular type of legitimacy. So yes, I think we should be fearless, we should be honest, but we should also have some wisdom and work with a few people who are already on the same page, and then see how we can slowly highlight issues. Issues of lynching, the history of lynching in this country. Every Muslim in this nation should have seen the movie 13th of the prison industrial system. We should know about human trafficking and how huge a case this Jeff Epstein case was. And also Princess Diana died because she wanted to expose the royalty of the human trafficking. 17 million young people or children have been trafficked, and that came to the European court. So these are modern forms of slavery, even debt slavery. Many people in Duyun or debts, even adjunct professors being thrown around and have no benefits. That's a form of slavery. So the way a lot of non-Arabs are being treated within the Middle East, different types of slavery that you have. So I think, yes, the youth are on ahead of the game. And I think at all times, I'm glad, Wissam, you actually called a young voice to be represented here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And the Quran does say, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, that we never fear the critics, criticism of the critiques. So yes, if we have misplaced priorities, we must own up. Many scholars in the past have spoken about ignorant followers and incompetent scholars, so like Muhammad al-Ghazali and many others. And I think it's just time that we sometimes tell the leadership, you are going to lose the young people, like the Jewish people are losing the young people and other communities, if you are not going to be relevant and if you're not going to be on the same page with these young people.
Thank you, Imam Shamsuddin.
Yes, sir. Real quick. I'm blessed, bidillah. Allah has had mercy upon me because I'm a teacher. I'm a high school math teacher. I teach Islamic studies. I teach little kids. I teach big kids. And I've had some different things happen in my lifetime, and dealing with teenagers that want to kill themselves, teenagers that want to kill their parents. And I get to talk to them from Quran. I'm talking Islamic studies. You know, I'm always in the faces of the kids, number one. Adult sessions, going to masajid to talk to different youth events at nighttime. You know, so I'm always around the kids and the youth trying to help them. As it relates to the the marching, what have you, the protests, I think, number one, none of us should walk into chaos. I think the most important thing is that the religious groups get themselves together, the Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, whomever, the non-religious affiliates, all of them get in the room. And so you have, like in this case, since it's a non-Muslim event for the most part, let the Christians march out front singing We Shall Overcome, or the Black National Anthem. I don't like saying Black, but I'm saying it because that's what it's called. Lift every voice and sing. Let a host of Christians walk out front singing the songs from the Martin Luther King days, number one. Number two, let us walk behind him. And we're saying, you know, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you know, saying La ilaha illallah wahdu la sharika lah. We're saying something like that. We'll find something to say, you know, Islamically, you know, to the, whatever, to voice our support, you know, for the people. And then let the Jewish community, let them march and say what they're going to say. And then let young people get together. And I mean, you got a lot of rap going on, so let them rap about justice. And now, you know, I'm not that guy. I used to be when I was a teenager. I did a lot of different things. You know, I was on stage singing and acting crazy when I was a teenager before I became Muslim. But my point is that let the young people do their thing. They're not Muslim, or some are Muslim, but let them create a creative rap and let that go, you know, and let that flow, you see. And then we can point out then the provocateurs, those who want to cause problems, you know, white nationalists who want to see people get killed. That's why they loot. They want to see dark faces, people of color, lose their lives, as many as possible, by causing chaos. So we have to organize different things before we walk out in the streets. That's one of the most important things we got to do going forward. Have everything in order. Barakallahu fikum.
Thank you, Iman. The movement has been getting more organized. I've shared the website, for example, for Black Lives Matter, which started after Ferguson. Mm-hmm. And we continue to see more involvement of the youth, really. But I want to say something I said in different programs, is that there is the injustice is a continuous issue. Notice in the Holy Quran that the prophets that have been selected to be mentioned in the Quran, usually these stories are connected to some sort of a social justice issue. Yes. It's not an issue of theology. It's not an issue of faith by itself. It's always connected to some sort of social justice. Imam Ilahi, we'll leave you with the final word. Sorry, we went over a few minutes, and we will take final words from each of our respected guests. And thank you for being with us in the program.
You're right, Sayyid, that social justice, really, that is بِالْعَدْلِ قَامَتِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and that is the foundation, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. So we continue this struggle against injustice. And one of the slogans that we heard during this demonstration today and in many other marches is that no justice, no peace. So that is extremely important, that when we talk about peace, prosperity, love, progress, everything, the biggest obstacle of peace is injustice, discrimination, racism. These are really the obstacles of peace, and we cannot have peace for anybody. And especially, you know, this expression that says that those who live in glass houses better not to throw stones. I mean, they lose more if there is no peace. And if you are looking for peace, which is really the goal of everyone, we have to work for justice. And whether justice local or national or international, this is what Islam is about. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسِ بِالْقِسْطِ. This is what Imam Ali was, Sawt al-Adalat al-Insaniya, that Christian George Jordan said Ali is voice of justice. That was Imam Mahdi, that all Shia and Sunni talking about Imam Mahdi is about justice. يَمْلَا وَالْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا بَعْدَمَا مُلَّا الظُّلْمًا وَجُغْرًا. So Imam Ahmed mentioned about Imam's counsel. Really, they used to tell me, Imam Allah, you are so good and every position and everything. We love everything about you, but you just talk about Saudi. Don't talk about Saudis. I said, you know, I'm not talking about Saudis. I'm talking about injustice, whether it is in Gaza by Israelis or whether it is in Yemen by the Saudis. Is not about Islam, Christianity, Judaism. We are talking about justice and injustice. We have nothing against Jews. So when we talk about like Israel or Gaza, we are talking about justice and injustice. We are in Yemen. We are not talking about, the Saudis, their Khadim Haramain, or they claim that about Islam. They are exercising injustice. So it's very, very important that our constitution, as American constitution, start the first thing, the first page of American constitution is that the goal of establishment of this constitution is to establish justice. So really, if we have justice as a foundation, then there is love and benevolence and brotherhood and passion and cooperation and everything. And in the story of racism, we are against racism because racism is injustice. And this communication should continue. I mean, if you want to change the culture in police department or sanitize the culture of our society in general, as we are talking about sanitizing the coronavirus, to sanitize this culture from the virus of racism, which is the most more dangerous than coronavirus, then we have to really stop this. That is not about just one George Floyd, you know, that over 1,100 people are killed by police every year in this country. And many times, I was suspicious that this guy, I was suspicious. Or, you know, it was mentally ill. Or, the guy was homeless or something. But it doesn't deserve to die just because somebody was homeless Actually, continue this discussion of justice, discussion of tolerance, this discussion of unity and one nation under one God. We need to continue this discussion. This conversation is necessary. And now that we have all these tools and technology, there is no excuse. There's no justification for people to be ignorant. We have enough resources and enough tools and technology to share information. And I think what you are doing tonight is one of the cases. And hopefully we continue that. That is to defend our democracy, by the way, in this country. And what Imam Saleh mentioned about one of the founding father, Benjamin Franklin, who read the Quran 200 years ago, that the first time that Quran was translated in English, Benjamin was the one who ordered that Quran that is still in Congress. And his whole idea was to protect religious liberty, the democracy. And it's good that, thank God, still we have some democracy in this country. And this is why when president of this country, the most powerful military man in the world, he goes to visit a church and have a picture with the Bible. The Archbishop of Washington, D.C. courageously comes and she says that I'm very angry. He didn't get permission from us to go to our church and
He had no right to remove people forcefully. So I'm saying that these are really very courageous things and very promising, very inspiring things that we see in this country, that despite of separation of church and states and religion and politics, but still the religious community, the churches, they courageously, they are saying to President Trump that it's not about just coming to our church and taking a picture. You should come for prayer, not taking a picture. And you cannot do that. If you are talking about Jesus, so walk Jesus' way. If you are talking about Bible, practice Bible as well. The same thing about the Quran. We talk, you know, the Hukam al-Arab, the Arab leaders, the Muslim leaders, that they talk about the Quran. That the Quran, Imam Ali said in Wasiyah, in Shah Ramadan, that Quran is not just paper. Quran is practice. And Allah, Allah, fil Quran, la yasbiqannakum bil amal bihi ghayrukum. So alhamdulillah, I'm despite of all this disappointment and shortcomings and, you know, obstacles and struggles and hardship that we are going through, but still, when I see that with one horrible situation that people, they watch it in a video, they react this way nationally and internationally, this shows that still there is light, there is life, there is hope, and there is faith. And that makes me very hopeful.
Thank you, Imam Ilahi. Imam Saleh, final word.
Yeah, I think it's most important to know that just having this a one-time response is going to be an insult to the memory of the martyrs. So this should be continuous. Imam shouldn't suggest one khutbah, but several khutbahs over the year, this coming year, to address the issue of race from different angles. We must also emphasize that this is not only one person that's being killed. And like Imam Ilahi mentioned, 1,100 people, and at least 950 of them in 2018 were people from the minority communities. So that's very important to look at that. During the civil rights movement, there was the equivalent of what we call love classes. So they used to train in these classes, the university classes, a group of students to actually be beaten up and insulted and then do the sit-ins. So I think the equivalent of love classes to really train our children throughout the coming years now how to really deal with these type of situations, because it could happen to my sons. Some of them are a little dark-skinned. It could happen to myself, it could happen to anyone for that matter. Just remember, I think, to many of the Muslims watching there, and we still regard some places overseas as our home. Home is where our grandchildren will be buried, not where our grandparents are buried. Both of them could be home. But how are we going to leave behind a home for the 10th generation from now? What are we putting in place? And then it's also important to know that if this, always look at some of the ideals of every society and holds a society up to those ideals, because too often the followers maim and distort those ideals. And so if the ideal of the Americans to be the true American and the true narrative of Americanness is one of justice, where they even put in the Supreme Court a freeze of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, of Umar bin Khattab, a freeze of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then let us hold them up to those type of ideals and constantly know more about their history than they even know. Also read the untold history of the United States, the untold history of America, Zinn Howard. We also have Oliver Stone and many others. And then let us share among our community what books we think they should be reading, what films they should be watching, what shows would be good, and maybe what other movements would be legitimate. Use our voice for the voiceless. Become the voice for the voiceless. But the more challenging thing is to also put ears onto people who are earless. So those people who don't hear yet, they are summun, bukmun, umyun. How can we really create some magic and let them hear the message in a very unique way?
Thank you. Thank you, Imam Saleh. We hope that just like the world is not going to come back like it was before after the coronavirus, we hope also that the world is not going to come back to what it was before the death of George Floyd. It seems that we make these commitments, and I don't know what keeps us failing and honoring them. After the Holocaust, the world had a commitment to stop genocide, and then Rwanda happened. And now you wonder after Rwanda and how there was a documentary about the Clintons being very regretful of being late into the interfering in the Rwanda situation. And now you have the concentration camps in China taking place for the Muslim Uyghurs, and no one is talking about it. It's almost absent from the media floor of the world or the attention of the world. So we keep letting these injustices happen again, and it seems there is an issue with our commitment to the social justice as a whole, as a world, as a united world. Imam Shamsuddin, with your final word.
So I got four words. We're going to start with hate and racism, because they're synonymous. You have to let hate brood in you, grow in you, evolve in you, to the point where in which you inflict your hate towards someone else, like Iblis did to Adam alayhi salam. And what we've seen in Caucasian America living in the United States, inflicted upon the hate inflicted upon people of color. Okay? So hate cannot live in the same heart with justice. Because, see, love and justice are synonymous. When you love humanity, you do right by humanity. And you are inspired to do this right by humanity by seeking to please the one who created you. So it says, Ahsan, kama ahsanallahu ilayk. Be kind like Allah Ta'ala is kind to you. Show kindness to individuals just as the Creator has shown kindness to us. If we want to go to paradise, I'm sorry, if we want mercy to go to paradise, then we have to show mercy to others. If we want kindness shown upon us, then we have to show kindness to others. And that kindness is shown deeply with justice. This is an order from Allah Azza wa Jal that we stand for justice. And hopefully, inshallah, we will do those things. Barakallahu feekum.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Imam Shamsuddin. At the end, I can only thank you so much, all our respected guests, Imam Ilahi, Imam Dr. Ahmed Saleh, and Imam Shamsuddin Abdul Rashid. And I apologize for our audiences who have not... I did not have the opportunity to answer their questions. There was very important questions which prompt us in the Forum for Islamic Dialogue to have more of these sessions. And also, I'm sure that the work of the respected imams on this broadcast also is open for your discussion and questions. So follow them wherever their programs are, and we can have these discussions there. But some of the topics that were asked were the role of Arab Americans and Muslim Americans as bystanders to police brutality in the U.S. One topic questioned was the modern slavery, the abolishment of modern slavery in the form of, for example, domestic migrants, workers in the Middle East, especially in the Gulf area, or, you know, the servants who are almost also are domestic slavery in the Middle East, including in the Levant area. The private profit prisons in the United States, a modern-day form of slavery. So this was an important question. And other, about 15 different questions, we didn't get a chance to answer them, but we will have the chance to have these discussions. And like Imam Ilahi said, it's all about communication. Mm-hmm. And so at the end, we continue to communicate and do everything that we can in all the forms possible to fight for justice so we can live a better world, and so for our mm-hmm. children to have a better world to live in than the world that we are living in. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa salam.